Countryside right now. It's Miller time. Welcome back to Waddle and Sylvie live at Kenny's Irish Pub for a Football Friday broadcast on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Hey, girl.
And welcome to a Football Friday show at Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite.
It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful crowd.
The sun's out. We've got a great crowd here. Plenty of room for you. They've got an outdoor area. They've got a big indoor area. We've got Ryder Cup action on TV. We've got the Cubs, if you still care, on the television. We've got Justin Fields conversation.
By the way, that's the first time I've seen the Cubs actually doing their thing in like weeks
on TV.
Yeah, right?
Like you've
I've failed
it.
Like everybody else.
Have you put like a child lock on your Comcast Xfinity?
No, I haven't.
Where like you've locked that channel out?
No, I don't need to do that.
And Marquee doesn't even get.
No, I haven't. Listen, they decided to tap out, so I tapped out with them.
I don't blame you.
So I've spent all of my time instead of watching two baseball teams, I'm watching one. And by the way, that team just won their division yesterday.
Yes, so. Congratulations. Congratulations to the White Sox. We were on Between the Games. Congratulations to all the White Sox fans. It's just the beginning of the window here. Look, it's still World Series or bust, but the best is yet to come. Hopefully this year and then in the years to come. And we're going to post an interview we did with Jeff Passan a little bit later. It is must listen to for Sox fans.
As always.
To not only discuss the achievements of this team, but also what could lie ahead with the big Astros series and the question marks with Carlos Rodon. But yesterday was about soaking it in, appreciating the day, appreciating the team, appreciating the road to get to this moment.
Well, a tip of the cap to so many people. And look, it's professional sports, so you win or lose the majority of the time based on the actions of the players. But to me, Rick Hahn is a guy that deserves an enormous round of applause for what he's done and putting this team together. I thought that the trades, maybe, you know, we don't know what kind of impact Kimbrel will have or Hernandez will have when the postseason gets here. But they were both moves that I think everyone wanted to see, and Tapera. So Rick not only built a good team, but at the trade deadline also added in go for it mode. So
all chips in.
All chips in. I love what he's done with his baseball team. As you said, there are, you know, still so many questions, but it's been a fun ride so far, and the ride's just beginning for White Sox fans.
We got great stuff coming your way, as we always do on a Football Friday and clinching Friday as well. But as always, we invite you, whether you want to just take a moment to acknowledge what the White Sox accomplished, whether you want to talk about what's down the road for them with Houston, 312-332-3776. For Bears fans, I also want to know this, and I want to go around the room in a little bit, but I want to know the headline that we're going to be talking about on Monday. What is going to be ultimately the short synopsis of what we're going to be talking about? You know, all eyes on Justin Fields. This is going to be the Justin Fields era beginning. This is the Justin Fields game. He is starting his first game. He'll get all the plays. He's going back to the area in which he starred in college. So, like, it's all a lot of focus is going to be on him. So whether it's just about him or about this team, Odell Beckham Jr. is expected to play for the Browns.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, and I've got the injury report, but let's start there. What do you believe
the headline's going
to
be?
What is the headline going to be? You could zoom in on Fields or just about the Bears, or maybe it just is about Fields on Monday.
You're going to have to give me some time to actually write the headline, but I think the synopsis of the story is going to be the Bears were in this game, gave a good Cleveland Browns team a run for their money. I'm predicting that the Cleveland Browns will win this game 24-20. I know the line is, I think, is 7, maybe 7.5. So I've got the Bears keeping this closer than the number would lead you to believe. I think there'll be some good. There will be some bad. He'll play like a rookie at times. But I think we will come out of this performance not feeling worse. probably feeling even a little bit better than you do with him going in. He won't be overwhelmed. I think he's shown that to you. Like, there will be mistakes, but I don't think that at the end of the game you're going to see somebody that's overwhelmed.
And, well, like, I'm not looking for you to make up, a creative, funny headline right now, like, after a game is played. I guess that's what I'm looking for. Like, to me, in a couple of sentences, the way I would sum up what I believe is going to happen in Cleveland is going to be, that's a start.
Yeah.
Like, so not only was that a start from Justin Fields, his first, but I believe what we're going to say is, that's a good starting point. And I do expect there to be some rocky times. It's a really tough team that they're playing. They're good both offensively and defensively. But I really believe after 60 minutes of football, we're going to say, hey, that's a start.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of in the middle, which is where I think it will land. Look, I told you a couple of days ago, this is must-see TV for me. And beyond just the, hey, this is the first start for Justin Fields as the Bears quarterback, which hopefully he will project himself to be the guy that we've been searching for all these years. This is an opportunity to see what kind of game plan Matt Nagy has put together his young quarterback. And an opportunity for Matt Nagy to change the narrative, as I always say, to the point where everyone's probably rolling their eyes. But this is an opportunity for a guy that has lost the confidence of the majority of the fan base.
It's a good
question. An opportunity to actually work with a guy who was his pick. You can't lean on Mitch wasn't my guy any longer. This was your hand-picked guy. You are the guy that came in here to revolutionize our offense, to make a difference with our offensive, you know, team. Can you actually make us forget some of the things that we would love to forget over the last couple of years? Can you change the narrative? And look, I'm not saying that Justin Fields is going to become the MVP of the league in one game, nor can Matt Nagy change the narrative completely in one game. But show me something that makes sense. Show me something that leads me to believe you've made the connection with this young man and that he's in good hands with you, which I don't think the majority of Bears fans really feel is the case.
As you were talking, I thought it was such a good point. I'm going to tweet this out as a Toyota poll question for the day. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. Who's more under the microscope in this game against the Browns? Is it Matt Nagy or Justin Fields?
It's Matt Nagy because, again, Justin Fields is going to, I feel really confident saying, Justin Fields is going to outlive Matt Nagy as a member of the Chicago Bears football team. Justin Fields is going to be here if Matt Nagy doesn't change the narrative, right? So Justin Fields is going to be here regardless for the next decade, let's just say.
Okay.
All right?
I hope you're right.
You're right. I mean, you could have... I'm not going to say anything is a guarantee. You could find yourself 5 years from now in the same scenario you were in with Mitch. I feel a little more confident that...
Like, how long did Cuddy last? Cuddy lasted 7 or 8 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, from 09 to about, what, 16?
But he outlived...
15, maybe?
Yes, but he outlived, the coach.
Right.
So yeah. My point you is that Justin Fields, there's a very good chance Justin Fields is going to be here longer than Matt Nagy. So... To answer your question, there's no doubt that in my opinion, Matt Nagy is more under the microscope than Justin Fields. We are expecting Justin Fields to make mistakes. We're also expecting him as, the 11th pick of the draft?
To wow us.
Well, yeah, to perform well or give you, the anticipation that there are good times to come. Matt's trying to change your mind about who he is and how he's done his job.
Right, but I do also think there is going to be a lot of looking at, oh boy, is he ready?
Oh, there's no doubt.
You know what
doubt.
I mean? Like, he will be under the microscope where Bears fans will go, ooh. And I don't know if I should just make it Fields or Nagy and just make Bears fans pick between that, or should I add the offensive line into that? Because here's a line, too.
Nagy. It's the quarterback and the coach. They're one right now. And look, it's natural as well. The narrative from a lot of people coming out of preseason was, Justin Fields gives you the best chance to win games. Then now, because he's your starter, some people are now kind of tapping the brakes saying there are going to be mistakes. And there are going to be mistakes. We may find out that there are a ton of mistakes. We may find out that he's able to elevate people around him sooner than we ever had expected. But look, life as a rookie quarterback in the NFL is not easy for most. Ask Trevor Lawrence. Ask Zach Wilson. Ask Peyton Manning going back in time. Ask Troy Aikman. You know, some will be able to handle the adversity and overcome it and become great players. Others aren't.
Right. Just because we see the struggles, it doesn't mean he should sit. And in our next segment, I want to play some Matt Nagy from today. He just got finished speaking. And Chris Black alerted all of us of a soundbite from Matt Nagy. Basically, you know, the question was basically, and we'll get to it here in a few minutes, but I just want to summarize it so you know, is Matt Nagy was asked something, can you be more creative now that you have Fields, a do-it-all type guy? And in the middle of this long word salad-y answer, he also said they got to see some things from Fields during this week of practice that they haven't seen in the past from him because he's taking the number one snaps. And that's an indictment on Nagy, and that's sort of what a lot of the contingent has been saying about a reason why Justin Fields does need to start is you learn by doing. And not only are you playing in the game on Sunday, but when you are the starter, every ounce of resource is being put into you to get the game plan around, to get you the reps. You're not running the scout team reps. You're not trying to be Matthew Stafford in game number one. You're not trying to be Joe Burrow in game number two so your defense can get ready. You're trying to be Justin Fields. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, he can do that. Ooh, we didn't know he was ready to do that. And the reason is because they're putting their stupid resources in to a journeyman quarterback who's 34 years old, who's not taking you anywhere. He's not taking you to a Super Bowl. Like, he's taking you to the land of mediocrity. And now all of a sudden, the light bulb goes on to the offensive genius.
Did they scrimmage this week?
What do you mean?
I mean, there's a certain degree of pumping a kid's tires because you want him to feel good about himself going into this as well. Like, and as much as he can prove to them in practice, it really, where you're going to learn and you're going to grow is on game day. What they're doing in practice is important. But I can guarantee you they saw things throughout training camp that they saw this week in practice.
I know, but he's not running their plays. Do you know what I mean? There are only a certain amount of reps that
happen. Yeah, I know. I've been in those practices.
I know you played.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying,
I know I didn't play, Waddle.
You're explaining it to me, and I know. I'm understanding it. I'm just telling you that the majority of the growth will come on Sunday.
Yes.
That's all I'm telling you.
Right, right, right. But at least he gets to practice what he's going to do on Sunday.
I get it.
312-332-3776. All right. Who's more under the microscope? Who will you be putting under the microscope more? We'll be putting them both under the scope. But who will be under the microscope more? Is it Matt Nagy making Justin Fields and creating a game plan for a first-year player in his first start on the road in a good situation? Or is it more about Fields? Is it more about the player? Is it more about is he ready or not? 312-332-3776. If you want to talk some White Sox about the clinch, we'll do that as well. Don't forget, you could also watch us on Twitch. We had some technical difficulties early. Travis Wacker has been working hard. The audio is up. We're raring to go. You could see us at Kenny's Irish Pub here on twitch.tv. Make sure you download the app as well. And our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. It is all brought to you by Pinehurst Resort. All right, so we'll hear from Matt Nagy when we come back. I've got the injury report. And Chuck Garfine will talk some White Sox at 2:30. It's Waddle and Sylvie. It's a football Friday. You've made it to your weekend. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite at Kenny's Irish Pub.
Football Friday. Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. And it's Miller time. Welcome to Waddle and Sylvie live from Kenny's Irish Pub on ESPN 1000.
Phone number to get in on the conversation, 312-332-3776. I put the poll question up regarding who's more under the microscope in this game. I've had about 700 votes so far on my Twitter handle, at Waddle and Sylvie, brought to you by our local Chicagoland Toyota dealers. And Waddle, the majority, and then it's a vast majority going with you.
It has to be the
at
coach.
84.2% to Matt Nagy.
This is Matt Nagy's fourth year doing this.
Yeah.
This is Justin Fields' first start.
Yeah.
Like, I when you give a grace period to somebody, a lot of it's based on, or your expectations are based on experience. Like, Matt Nagy should, like, this should be coming natural to him at this point.
Right.
Designing a game plan for a specifically talented quarterback.
Right. Like in Mitch's first year, it's like, okay, I know I sold myself to get the job because we knew Mitch scouting him.
Yes.
But he wasn't my guy. So let's go out and get one of my guys. Nick Foles was one of my guys in Philly, and he was one of my guys in Kansas City.
Yes.
Oh, well that didn't work out. I mean, you know, he's getting older now, and we didn't see eye to eye. So, let's get one of Bill Lazor's guys. Let's get Andy Dalton. And now, okay, he finally has his guy. He was in on the process of scouting and drafting, and they made the move.
What you got?
And now you teach him from the very, very start.
What you got?
What you got?
What you got? Now listen. When he was in, all you got to do is go back to Kansas City. The game plans they're drawing up for Patrick Mahomes are significantly different than the ones they were drawing up for Alex Smith. Now, don't underrate the athlete that Alex Smith was, but Alex Smith couldn't physically do some of the things that Patrick Mahomes is doing. So, like, there is a flexibility with the game plan, and there's a knowledge that you can do this with this guy and this with that guy. Like, let's see it.
Right. And then, like, people in the Twitch chat, I love talking to those guys, were saying, like, why is Sylvie angry? And someone was speaking for me saying, I think Sylvie's angry because, you know, he wanted everything to be put into Fields. And, like, that's always been my thing about Dalton. Why start from square zero with Dalton? We got to get Dalton up to speed. Got to get Dalton for what? At best to start 10 games? What, I mean, like, that's so ass backwards. Like, if you stuck with Foles, who already knew the system, and he could be a bridge for good or bad, you didn't have to put so much into him, and you could really get in on Fields. But, like, we're at ground zero with Dalton, too. And
horse left the barn in March.
Right,
when they decided to sign Andy Dalton and didn't do what you and I both wanted them to do, which was sign nobody and go to the gate with Nick Foles since you were going to pay him anyway.
And sign another offensive lineman
correct.
Or someone like that. All right, so this is Matt Nagy. And this is the press conference less than an hour ago. And, again, he was asked the question about, you know, coming up with a game plan for Justin Fields as we're talking about putting him under the microscope. And can you be more creative with your guy, Justin Fields?
Yeah, to that I would say yeah, in the fact that when Ryan and I started this process, you start looking at the quarterbacks that are in this draft and you start evaluating their strengths and weaknesses. And when you see, I can go back to where Coach Day at Ohio State, when we talked about the comment that he made to me about generational talent, when you put a person or a quarterback that can throw the ball like he can, but can run like he can, and has the ability to process and the want and the fire, the competitiveness, all that together, that's why you go get him. And so now, when we were able to get him, now you know, okay, when it is his time, there's going to be a lot of good stuff that we can do with this offense. But that does take a little bit of time, you know, and you see that as you go. There's little things that we're learning, too. Like this week, with him getting all the reps in practice, there's things that we're seeing that maybe we didn't see in the first 2 weeks because he wasn't getting those one reps. And that part is good. That's healthy because now as long as we take that to him and say, hey, listen, when you do this, this or that, this is what you got to get a little bit better at. This is what you're doing well. Right. Let's go back and watch the tape and see why you were a little bit late on this throw. And for him, all he's doing is just these building blocks of a foundation of how he's getting better. That's the beauty of him having these great reps in practice, you know, which is what he wasn't getting. But now he has an opportunity to do it. So we got to take advantage of it.
I wanted to love this guy. And the more he does, and it's not just speaking, it's not just about winning a press conference or the word salads. The more he does, the less confidence I have that he's going to get this right.
Well, he should know, unless he's completely out over his skis, that he can do different and more things with Justin Fields than he can Andy Dalton. The same way John Harbaugh and Greg Roman knew that they could do more and different things with Lamar Jackson than they could with Joe Flacco. Like, if you can't recognize that, you need to pack your crap up and move. Like, well, so, like, that to me is, that's the biggest dumb moment of the day.
Right.
Like, of course you can do different things with Justin Fields that you can't do with Andy Dalton. If you didn't identify that weeks ago and months ago, then we're banging our head against the wall.
Right. It's a process, and it takes time. But when he doesn't get first-team reps, it's going to take longer. You're slowing down the process on purpose. It's not like this team is in position to win a championship where all you need is a guy to keep the rig on the road and let the defense and running game win games like the 05-06 Bears. This team isn't going anywhere to begin with, so why not get Justin Fields first-team reps?
Because he doesn't agree with you. He thought this team was ready to win. They were 8-8 last year, and they were in the postseason. Look, that's not my perspective.
You're right. Like, you're right about that.
You're arguing against a guy that has a different perspective on his team than you do. That's the answer to
it. He's in la-la land, and I'm not talking about L.A.
Look, I said from the very beginning, I don't believe this team competes for anything. So to start Justin Fields from day one, totally fine with me. Because he's not going to hold you back.
Right.
Because
you know, like,
you're
that's
not
the time
going,
you rebuild.
You're not
you know?
Going to win anything anyway.
That's when you build, even if it's not a re. Frank in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Frankie?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, so my question is for Waddle as a receiver. I guess I'm trying to make sure my expectations for this offense are realistic. You know, I'm assuming, you know, as a receiver, do you really have to get used to a different quarterback throwing you the ball? And if that's the case, would that have explained some of the misses that happened against the Bengals? And if so, when do you expect Field to form a connection with these receivers where there's more hits than misses? And
there is a difference. There's no doubt. Like, you've got to learn how the ball comes out of the guy's hand, how the flight of the ball, the speed of the throw, like, we had a kid, Will Fuhrer, who was a great kid, but was a lefty and threw the ball 1,000 miles an hour. Probably dislocated three of my fingers every practice.
Wow.
Ball came in sideways. I mean, it was crazy. And, I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't accurate, but the ball, the flight of the ball coming out of his hand as a lefty, the ball came in at a different angle. So there is an adjustment, but you can get used to a lot of that stuff throughout training camp. I think there will be a learning process. It will take weeks for them as receivers and him as a quarterback to get to know each other.
Maybe that's why Mooney had the drop. It's like an ongoing joke all week if you haven't been here.
Like
it's
that drop last night the Carolina Panthers guy that the ball he stuck an arm out and hit his fingers.
The ongoing feud has been Yurko's been calling it a drop. And he knows because he was sitting in the 200 level at Soldier, which, by the way, is a worse view than we have on TV.
He said, I was there. Yeah. He was in the brat line is where he was.
And Waddle's like, hey, that's a just miss.
Yeah, it's just a miss. That's a great way to describe it. Same way last night, the Sam Darnold pass to Moore just went off the end of his right hand.
Yeah.
That's a just miss. And, in fact, as you heard the broadcasters, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, said that's a throw that's got to be made.
Right.
Now, to get back to the question, it will just take some time. I don't anticipate it, though, to be a huge issue with them. I don't. I don't think that getting used to the quarterback, the receivers getting used to the quarterback and the quarterback getting used to the receivers, I don't think that's going to be a significant hurdle for either side to have to clear.
Trayvon, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Trayvon?
Oh, hey, what's going on, guys?
Everything's good.
I heard you guys talking a little bit about it's going to be under the microscope as far as this Sunday's game, and I'm sure I speak for a lot of Chicago Bears fans when I say Matt Nagy's that guy. Because I personally believe that Given the proper plays and, like, the proper guidance, Justin Fields can do great, and he's going to be great regardless if Nagy's the one behind him or, you know, whatever happens with that whole thing. So I want to see what you guys think about that. I'm all against Matt Nagy, and I think it's not going to be too great this Sunday. Thanks, guys.
Look, that's why I said yesterday that to me the thing that I will look at mostly is the coach and the quarterback on the same page? Is the coach making the quarterback comfortable by doing things early in the game that he's comfortable with, which then allows him to build confidence, which then allows you to open up the playbook? Will it look right? Will it look, does it make sense to you? So that's why, look, I come into this with a skeptical eye as well. I didn't see anything. I went back and watched the game against the Cincinnati Bengals, and I get it. The install was made for Andy Dalton. When Justin steps in, he does different things well. I saw no boots. I saw none of the things that you would expect them. And you have to have the ability to segue from one guy to the next more smoothly than that and then look back and go, you can't look back and go, well, we weren't prepared for that. Well, that's BS.
Yes, right.
You have plays that are already installed for him in certain situations.
Or maybe you don't.
And you go back to the last preseason game. You put a game plan in for him. It's pretty vanilla and basic, but it included a lot of boots. Well, you couldn't just say at half.
Can't
when
find
you're together.
It on the play sheet and at Denny's Silly. Menu. Really quick, so Akeem Hicks, there was good news there. He was a full go today. He is listed as questionable. Tashawn Gibson, their starting strong safety, is doubtful. He has not practiced both Thursday and today. So he's been downgraded. That doesn't look good. Eddie Goldman took a step back today as well.
Seems like a Friday,
Friday
trend.
He was limited on Wednesday and Thursday, but did not practice today. And today's usually the lesser practice. They list him as questionable. Mooney was limited. He's got the groin injury. He'll probably play, but we'll see if he's limited in the game.
Same status as last week, right? Wasn't this the same path he took?
I thought he was.
I know he was on the list a couple of times during the week.
All right, so that's the injury report. Jay Cutler is going to join us at 3 o'clock. He'll talk to us about, you know, installing a game plan and what he expects to see from Justin Fields. But next, take a bow, White Sox. It is time to give the White Sox their due, their accomplishments in 2021, and discuss what is yet to come. Chuck Garfine will join us next. We are live at Kenny's in Countryside. It's all brought to you by our great friends at Miller Lite.
Live from Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside, this is Waddle and Sylvie on a Football Friday. It's Miller Time on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Having a blast. It's a Football Friday. A lot of football to discuss. 312-332-3776. Justin Fields making his first start. Bears and Browns. There was some great, great conversation between the two shows in ESPN Cleveland and Carmen and Yurko today.
Yes.
Rizzo was on, Goldhammer.
They had a nice conversation also about Baker Mayfield and whether or not to pay him.
Yeah.
A lot of good combo. And there's some razzing of the good kid who brief stay in Cleveland netted him a couple million dollars. Good for Johnny.
And it's what I love about Yurko, too. Like, they think they're coming at Yurko by saying, you stole $1 million. Yeah. Like, hey, yeah, I stole $1 million. Right. It's about time I got that million-dollar paycheck.
Right.
After playing 10 years in the league, I'm proud of that. Johnny Handsome deserved it.
Yeah, joke's not on Johnny. Joke's on Cleveland.
Right. Yeah. He made it work. Kudos to Yurko. And Carmen will be in attendance here at Kenny's in Countryside to not only talk some gambling, but to salute his White Sox.
I was already offered an old-fashioned, and I said, wait till Carm gets here. I'm sure he'll take you up on the offer.
The guy said, I thought you were the old-fashioned guy. I'm like, no, Carm's the old-fashioned guy. Waddle will drink beer.
And
he's going to drink scotch.
And wine.
He won't drink vodka either.
I won't, no.
Let's,
not anymore.
Speaking of Cleveland, what a weekend in Cleveland. Started yesterday, watched it all on NBC Sports Chicago. They had great coverage of the clinch. Chuck Garfine leads the crew over there. You also hear him three times a week on ESPN 1000.
I think he needed to towel off, literally.
Did you need to towel off after game one of the doubleheader and the clinching yesterday?
I know. Ozzie Guillen gave me a little bit of a shower, a little celebratory shower on the set. I was drenched, but shockingly, it dried up in about 10 minutes. So little did I know I had a very absorbable suit that I was wearing. But I did, you're talking about old fashions, I did celebrate with an old fashioned after work last night to celebrate the White Sox division title. So
I
relate.
I hope it wasn't just one. Yeah, I mean,
two.
Oh, yeah. They played two. You drank two. I still would have. I would have gone to town a little bit more. Chuck Garfine brought to you by First Midwest Bank. Helping you build momentum, you have plans. First Midwest Bank has ideas.
Maybe Chuck doesn't have the same alcohol problem that you have.
That's not a problem.
Okay.
Chuck is a lightweight and a half, so two is a lot for me.
I didn't know that about you.
Your baseball team is not a lightweight. There's a segue for you, Chuck. You knew this was coming, but the anticipation, I'm assuming, didn't spoil it at all. This was fantastic, and now you look towards the postseason, I assume.
Yeah, and if I'm to theorize something, and this could go the other way, as I'm trying to figure out this team, they have not been pressured by any teams really in the division since, I don't know, June. And we're wondering, well, you know, there are 500 teams since the All-Star break. Can they just turn it on? I'm starting to think, after watching what happened in game one of that doubleheader when they clinched it, I think they might be able to actually literally turn it on. Now, you're playing with fire when you're doing that, but, I mean, they had those two bad games in Detroit. They then realized, you know what, we can clinch this thing in game one. They're facing Aaron Savali, who's a real good pitcher, really good, one of the best in the American League. They torched him for four home runs in an inning and a third, and TA, who means so much to this team. And when we say that, how about this stat that backs that up? In wins this year, in wins, when he's played in 67 wins for the White Sox, he's got 15 homers, 54 RBIs. Okay, that's good. In the 48 losses that he's played in with the White Sox, you want to guess how many RBIs he has in those 48 games?
In the losses?
Yeah.
40-some games. Take a guess, Waddle.
12.
Good guess. It's four. He has one home run and four RBIs in the 48 losses.
He goes, if they
this,
go.
So we say that. It's literally true. It is literally true. When he goes, they go. And that's so, I mean, and he actually said, he came on our postgame show, and he said, the reason why I'm working so hard is that I see and I know how much they feed off of me. So it puts a lot of pressure on me. So I got to make sure that I am the best that I can be. And that is really going to be, that could be the big story in the playoffs. How Tim Anderson does and how he does might reflect how the White Sox do in the playoffs.
But you can't rely on one guy to provide the energy for an entire lineup. I think it, in some ways you look at that and you say, wow, Tim Anderson is the engine that makes this thing go. But like, what if Tim Anderson has a bad day? Somebody else has got to pick him up. I mean, you just can't have that as the only formula for success.
No, and that does happen. It happens, you know, a lot. But if he is slumping, you know, or if he just – I think what ends up happening is when he does something, he just makes everyone else on the team better and looser. I can't fully – verbalize it as to, you know, and is it going to happen in a series? But we just have seen it. Like, here, that was yesterday was a perfect example. Like, there was just like, you know, they got a doubleheader against the Indians. They don't play well in Cleveland. And he just, you know, first at bat of the game is him and he homers. And then his second at bat, 3-run homer. But I hear you, Tom. This is not like basketball where you can just give the ball to your best player and he can win you a game. I mean, you have to have – it's a team game, and you win as a team. But there is this Tim Anderson thing, this Tim Anderson effect on this team that is undeniable, and it's been proving itself time and time again.
Yeah, I agree with you that hitters can turn it on. I mean, how many times have we seen just – you know, Will Clark do what he did years and years ago. Even a guy like Mark Lemke or other playoff heroes from the past. In baseball, you can turn on the bats. What I'm worried about, Chuck, is when a toy is draining batteries, you have to find a new battery to get it some new energy. Is there a new battery for Carlos Rodon?
I think we saw it. I think we saw him take the mound in game two of the doubleheader, and it's Michael Kopech. After game one, Rick Hahn spoke with the media, and he said, you know, we're going to try to get Kopech up maybe, you know, over the next 10 days, extend him a little, whether it's, you know, two, three innings at a time, because I think they're looking at this as, okay, just in case Carlos Rodon can't start in the playoffs, they could start Michael Kopech. You could even combine Kopech and Keuchel to go, say, 3-3 in a start, and there is your basically your number four starter if you choose. And there is something about Kopech. You know, he's a starter. He knows how to start games. This year, he's had to learn how to be a reliever, which at times works and at times hasn't. But when he starts, like, he came out, knew he was starting in this game, struck out the side in the first inning yesterday. So that could be how they solve the Rodon issue. Rodon's going to start either Tuesday or Wednesday. They first said Wednesday, but it could be Tuesday or Wednesday against the Reds. And they're going to find out what they have with Rodon and whether he can help them out in the playoffs.
That surprises me a little bit just because of the role that Kopech has played all year and how vital a role he played. So, Chuck, if in fact they go that route, who would pick up the slack and take over for what Kopech has done in that role throughout the course of the year? Would it be Tapera?
Yeah. Yeah, probably Tapera, who is hopefully going to be back soon. He cut his finger, a little accident at, I think it was at home, but he should be back pretty soon. So, yeah, it would be a Tapera. I mean, they're in a little bit of a pickle. It's like, well, what do you want? Do you want to keep him in like a setup kind of role, or do you want him having him starting or maybe it's Keuchel who starts? I'm not sure how they're going to do it, but you know, I like this. I mean, he's got the most dangerous arm. He's got the best arm, if not Cease, on this team. And it's an interesting wrinkle to think that they could go, say, I don't know how it's going to line up, but it could go Lynn, it could go Giolito, maybe Cease, and then you got a game four of Kopech and Keuchel. I like it.
You know why I like it, Chuck? To just counter Waddle, it's not like Kopech has been dealing in that role in the second half. Like, if he'd been coming in, like, in the middle of it, and Tony's done a really good job of experimenting. Hey, can Kopech come in right now in a dirty inning with a runner on second? And we've seen him not have that. Like, Crochet last year at a very young age, you saw those flashes and you had confidence going into that wild card series against Oakland, but Kopech had been struggling a little bit in that role, so hey, maybe it's best for him, best for the team. He's used as an opener. I like the open-minded nature of this, and maybe we do see a revitalized Kopech here as a starter.
Yeah, I mean, they are rolling with it here. They're open to ideas. There's too much to lose. You've come this far. Why would you decide, you know, you need a backup plan? And there is an argument to be made that maybe they should have been experimenting or at least lengthening Kopech out earlier so it wasn't here in the final 10 days of the season. But it is happening now, so we'll see how it ends up. And we're also going to see who they're going to play in the ALDS because we've all been so focused on the Astros. Like, that's what it was going to be. They were going to be the 2 seed. But the Astros are 3 games behind the Rays. They've got 3 games in Tampa. Sorry, 2-3 games in Houston next week. Do the Rays, and then they have to close with the Yankees. This could change by the time the season's over. Maybe the White Sox play the Rays. I'm guessing it's probably going to be Houston, but it's not in cement like I thought it was going to be a couple of days ago.
Buckle up, Chuck. It's going to be fun.
Buckle up, Chuck. I like it.
I like it. Frank Thomas, Ozzie Guillen, and myself. Doing the show at 5:30 for a pregame show, White Sox and Indians on NBC Sports Chicago at 6. We are buckled up for some good times. So,
looking
forward to it.
It's been a fun watch all year long,
yeah,
Chuck.
Yeah, it's a great show. You guys do great work, Chuck. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Awesome. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
Chuck Arfine, NBC Sports Chicago. Our crew does great work, too. Connor McKnight, Len Casper, Darren Jackson, Ryan McGuire, Eric Ostrowski. You'll hear that call coming up. If you want to weigh in on the Sox or the Bears, 332-3776. And Jay Cutler coming up at 3. We're having a great time. You've made it to your weekend. Come on out and have an ice-cold Miller Lite. We're at Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside.
Welcome back to the Waddle and Sylvie Show, live from Kenny's Irish Pub in Countryside. Raise a glass for Miller Time on a Football Friday on ESPN 1000.
All right, Jay Cutler will join us in about 5 minutes from right now. People want to talk about the White Sox, and I don't blame them. Keith on the South Side, you're on with Waddle and Sylvie. Hello, Keith.
How you fellas doing today?
Fantastic. You sound like you're doing well.
I cannot complain. The first The first step has been accomplished, some I expected at the beginning of the year. We won our division. Not making the first playoffs was not the first step. Winning the division was the first step. The second step is winning the American League. And then the third step is winning the World Series. And I just want to say, all those who are happy just winning the division, get off the boat. We don't want you on the boat. Those who are happy winning the American League, get off the boat. We don't want you on the boat.
Get off the boat.
Win it all.
We want, if you ain't in it to win the World Series, get off the boat. I can't watch everybody because some of those people are going to put holes in the boat. And we can't have this ship sink.
You said
the ship,
right?
Will not go down this year. We want that title.
I love it.
That's all I got, fellas.
No, Keith, that's good stuff right there. That's a good pep talk, right?
Get off his boat.
He wants a World Series.
Yes.
Right? That's what you're thinking about. You got the pitching. Like, nothing's promised to you. Like, they made it through all these injuries. That's awesome. Well, I mean, the way they've bounced back from all this, it's for this time.
Get off his boat.
Get off his boat. Jim in Iowa, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Hope you're having a great day and going to have a great weekend.
Let me ask you this question. Are you on Keith's boat?
I'm absolutely on his boat, without a doubt.
Good, nice.
It's my belief that if the Sox position players and starting pitchers play up to their capability, not above their capability, but just their capability, that Hendricks and Kimbrel have an opportunity to make unprecedented history of just totally shutting down the opposition throughout the playoffs and getting co-MVP in the World Series.
Wow, look at that.
Share the silver.
Yeah, let's bookmark this phone call right now. That's some good stuff right there. And look, Kimbrel's a guy, too, who hasn't been great here for the White Sox. His ERA is over 5. But I still believe he's a guy, because I think he's healthy, who can flip it. I think he can flip it. And you know,
I just get itchy and scratchy about bullpens. You know how I am.
Right.
I mean, it's the most unpredictable part of any baseball team.
Yep.
But you're right. There's so much talent there. Whether it's him, it's Bummer, it's Tapera coming back from the cut finger.
Crochet.
I mean, it's Kopech. Like, it's a roller coaster ride. It just is. It's the nature of the beast with a bullpen.
Are they going to use Lopez? Lopez is going to be out of the pen, right? The way he's
going.
Yeah,
I think it's.
Or is that just Cleveland?
I think that's just Cleveland. I do think that the Kopech thing is a very interesting conversation, because I think it was just a couple of weeks ago when I think one of us asked Len the question, and, you know, Len talks to Tony every day about Kopech, and I don't want to, you know, attach this to Len if it wasn't Len, but I thought it was. He said, listen, the plan for Kopech is he's not going to be a starter this year. So, like, you've got to be flexible.
They're adjusting.
Yeah.
They're doing what we ask coaches to do. They're adjusting.
Yeah.
And it could work for everyone. And don't forget, Connor McKnight with White Sox Weekly tomorrow at 5. We'll have a conversation with Rick Hahn. Take a bow, Rick Hahn. You deserve it. And Amen. Now it's time to go get that trophy on Keith's boat. That's what it's all about. In 2 minutes, Jay Cutler will join the show. What would he do if he's designing the game plan for Justin Fields? And I want to talk an old gambling story with Cuddy.
Oh, really?
That I re-listened to today. And we'll see if we can get some good stuff out of him in 2 short minutes.